health today. I know it wasn't even a while back yet. I had made mention to you, if your physical health right now became your, if your physical health right now became your spiritual health, meaning that wherever you are right now spiritually, if that became you of who you are right now, how would you be, your health would be right now? You'd be alive, barely. I want to talk to you about how God's plan inside of walking after the Spirit of God, what God has provided for us, and which a lot of people are maybe a little intimidated by and think it's maybe a bad word, but I'll say it again. It's a beautiful thing, and God said it. And I'm going to say it very clearly. Sound doctrine is God's way for us to grow and to carry on in the Christian faith. And sound doctrine isn't separated from the Spirit of God. And sound doctrine sounds healthy. And sound teaching, sound doctrine comes from God and is divine. We have today where everyone says, you just need to preach Christ and don't preach doctrine. And I have a problem with that because the Bible mentions doctrine over 50 times. The Bible is very clear on doctrine that God is all evolved about passing on to generation a likeness of faith that's produced by a soundness. And a healthy mind, the Bible mentions a sound mind. The Bible mentions sound words. The Bible is very clear on sound faith. And then the Bible is also very clear on sound doctrine. And did you know that this is where we want today, we have today in our last days, that we have a Christ. We want to preach Christ without having his teaching. And it doesn't make any sense. You have a straw man Christ wanting to be preached today. Men and women are saying, just preach Christ. But imagine Christ, the great teacher, without his teaching. Imagine having a great Lord without his commandments. Just an empty, hollow Christ. But the Bible is very clear that it's to continue in the faith. For us to walk after the Spirit of God. God has gave to us the Word of God. And inside this word right here, he tells us to hold fast the faithful words. That we are to hold fast the faithful words. You know, men and women often think that the devil gets more credit for this. We say, oh, don't go that way. That's in false doctrine. False doctrine we accept in the sense of its effects. The devil, he's gonna give you false doctrine, and oh, pray for that brother. They're in false doctrine. The devil's gonna destroy them. But when it comes to God's doctrine, sound doctrine, it's almost like it doesn't give life. Well, I would present to you without any hesitation that sound doctrine is God's way for us today. And God's provided that for us in the Word of God. And so by the grace of God, we'll look into some of these verses here. And if you would like to, turn to the book of Titus. Book of Titus. Just to give you we probably won't be too awfully long today. I want to just kind of pinpoint right into this area and that you might have some hope today. You know, sound doctrine, it's given by God, about God, to the glory of God. And that's what sound doctrine is. And that's what good doctrine does. Good doctrine is, you got to understand that it's given by God. Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth, the Bible says that they were astonished at his doctrine. Now, you can go ahead and say doctrine, it can be just normal teaching. But the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, it says that the people were astonished at his doctrine. So I like just putting it right where that is, his doctrine. It's Christ's doctrine. It's his teaching. And I think it produces what I would say soundness, healthy. Peace of mind, but we used to say, you know, everyone says, oh, he's safe and sound. And that's where God wants us to be and to grow. Now, we know that apart in this sound doctrine, that this sound, healthy teaching, this wholesome teaching, the Bible warns us against false teaching. The Bible teaches that amongst this healthy teaching, that there's also, in this false, there's a false teaching. The Bible also mentioned that there would be false teachers. The Bible mentioned there would be wolves, right, amongst the sheep. The Bible mentioned there's going to be tares, right, amongst the wheat. So we have a lot of things that in this life, that there's going to be false teachers. The Bible's very clear of the great destruction that they'll bring. But if we look into the Bible, we'll see of the great life. If you could just picture sound doctrine is just life. And then in that life, I find that oftentimes I would like to give you a small platform to look on to see if you're on, if you really have sound faith today. There's a faith that everyone that's a spirit-led, not spirit of God-led, but the spirit of man-led in the church today, that people feel that we're left to ourselves, to this feeling thing that's still without part of structure, apart from sound teaching, come from the lips of Christ, from the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you that many have found themselves in great despair after many, many years left in this place of an unhealthy faith, an unhealthy mind. And, you know, it has a lot to do, your mind, the way you think has a lot to do the way you act. And so your thinking, your mind, if you don't have the mind of Christ, if you don't have the proper healthy teaching of the mind of Christ and that for yourself, you're going to be unhealthy and have an unsound mind. Many people wrestle with many, many thoughts and many positions in their Christian life about Christ and them, and about them and the church, and about them and the world. And the Bible's clear that we can be brought about, that He's given to the church. He's given to the church gifts, right? He's given us for the ministry that we would be edified and built up in the faith. Bible teaches that we wouldn't be tossed to and fro by what? Every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. So we see that God is, He's not in for us to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And God has a sound way of fulfilling righteousness in us when we come to Christ. And we'll talk with that probably primarily first. Some of you, the first essential thing, and if you can't get this, you can't go no further. It's the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. And I want to read to you, holding Titus. If some of you are outside of Christ, there's not going to be much value because you don't have the essentials to carry on. You need to be first born again. You need to be blood-bought and by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God and cleansed by the blood of Christ. But in this thing here, in that you need to be understand who Jesus Christ is. And, you know, a lot of people, we can go out into the world and say, what do you believe? What do you believe? But really it is, you know, where it all boils down to is, what do you believe on the gospel? You know, some people say, well, he don't believe or she don't believe in non-resistance. What do you believe on head covering? What do you believe on this and all these things? And they're important. But, you know, often a lot of times, that's the devil's way to get it all. You get all this life and all this vast nonsense out of the way. If you get down to the false teaching, the false teachers and sound faith, they butt heads on this alone. How does a person come to Jesus Christ and get born again? And they're going to say, well, I got merit and you got sin. I got baptized when I was a kid. So why are we dealing with all these subjects? We need to deal with Christ. The doctrine of Christ is first. And if you're outside of this doctrine, you don't believe in this doctrine, then why, the rest of the doctrine will be of no value to you. It doesn't matter if you try and do. I don't care if you pray. I don't care if you fast. I don't care if you go to church. I don't care if you don't go to church. If you're on an online church, if you're on a whatever you are and all your position and opinion, if you don't understand the doctrine of Christ, then there's no grounds to even go one bit further. And in that, you can find in 2 John, it says, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Now, that's a good place to abide. But if you understand the word abideth in the Bible, in its definition, if you can just say it like this, it's salvation. When you look to that in John, abideth, if you look at it and let the Bible define itself, it says, hath not God. It says, if you're not abiding, if he that abideth not, transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God, because you can't come to God except you come through the person of Jesus Christ. The doctrine, the teaching of the blood atonement, and the teaching of Christ's mediation and intercession and the great high priest. That apart from these things, that apart from the person of Christ, God has ordained it by this means of how you begin your walk with Christ. And it says, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And I want to stop here and maybe just in a little bit of a side note, thinking in your mind, you know, this is another place to where we can easily, the Bible teaches us, that we would be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That is very clear to us that when we're established in grace, that we have a balance of the triune God. That's one of the fruits of a Christian that's being led of the Spirit of God and being taught sound doctrine. They got sound faith, sound mind, and they're giving glory to God, and that is in the person of who God is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have group over here that they say, well, they don't believe that God exists in three persons. They don't believe that. It's always about God the Father. They don't mention ever the Son. Never. It's a religious group. They don't mention the Son. They're unbalanced in the Trinity, the Godhead, the triune God. That's false teaching. And then there's some that could be all the Spirit of God. You never hear Christ, but he's in the Spirit of God was to give credit and speak of only of Christ to the glory of God. There's an order which God works through the triune and through the Trinitarian gospel, that through Jesus, that God the Father reaches out to a lost and dying world through his Son and the Spirit of God that is revealing the Son, Jesus Christ, to the lost and dying world. And as the world believes and has been awakened by that and believes the gospel and they become saved, God imparts to them the Spirit of God, that he continually reveals the person of Christ to them, to the glory to God. And that's how that works. And the Bible teaches us, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine. And I'm always just pressed without measure to get my mind in this thinking, because, you know, this Bible has been around for a long time, and it's a blessing, but it's been around so long, it's given so much time for the enemy and so much time for denominations and people to sit and rest this thing to where it's almost become, it's disheartening, can it be not? Every single last person you know, friends, family, you've set that book, supposed to be a beautiful book, supposed to be sound, healthy, supposed to bring you to unity and oneness through the person of Christ, and you find it's nothing, but then there's something there. If I could give you strength today and just get you in this idea that if you are in the liberty of Jesus Christ this morning, if you're walking after the Spirit of God, that he's going to feed to you sound doctrine. And I'm going to just plain say, if you're not in the Word of God, I would encourage you, exhort you, and if I was even more spiritual, I would rebuke you if you're not. Because if you're not in the Word of God, it's a great distaste in the eyes of God. It's a horrendous act against an almighty God to continually be speaking through the Word of God before you. And yet you keep going to opinion. You keep going to all these things. It might even encourage you a little further and to say, would you look to the Word of God? Would you seek him, meditate upon his word more than the internet, even spiritually speaking. I read an article a while back, they call them highly online Christians. You got your own little clique, you're getting disconnected from the body. And these own little cliques, it's an online Christian network, but it brings all the world in with all their teachings. And it also brings in a lot of heartache. Now, I want to ask you, and please don't let it affect you and judge the body that God has placed you in this morning. Let it not trouble you to say, oh, well, I got another way because I got 10 people over here with their good old hype means that are tearing down certain things that our church doesn't perform. That's sad. That's destructive. That's not God's will. God's will for you to look into the Word of God. God's will is to go and not confess to these people online you don't know, but come until you look into your eyes with Brother Jerry here and many other older brothers and older sisters to learn doctrine and healthiness, to learn together as one bread and one body. And I would encourage you in that way. There come any into you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. If anyone ain't bringing the gospel, I'm going to tell you right now, no ashamedness. Don't support them. Not $1. There is no goodbye prayer. You can give them food and water. That's it. You can be kind and gentle and preach Christ, but don't you dare bid them Godspeed. If they don't have Christ, don't be deceived, young ones. Listen, the devil's coming. The Bible's very clear that now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in these latter times that people are going to err from the faith. They're going to be going to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Who are these people? Is it just written on black and white paper and it never really happens? Do we just preach this thing and we go home and just say, doctrines of devil. I'm telling you, it's a flourishing thing. It's very clear in the Bible that these doctrines, but it's interesting that three times in your Bible it's mentioned seducing. Seducing spirit. Revelation mentions seducing spirit. Oh yeah, Jezebel, she brought in her teaching, seduced them, right? She seduced them to commit fornication. And if you look into this seducing spirit's that oftentimes the doctrine of Baal, the doctrine of Balaam, if you look at it when Christ said, when he was talking about certain doctrines, which Christ used strong words with doctrines, some people look at it doctrine like this. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. And you know full well that it's not the gospel. Christ said this, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the doctrine which I hate. That's what he said. He hated the doctrine of lasciviousness. He hated the doctrine of authority. Men and women in the church, primarily the teachers that were using authority, but in the end, permitting promiscuity and committing looseness and lasciviousness into the church. You ever hear people that sound real good, but the whole church is just falling apart? Somewhere along the line, beware. Satan has come in, and these teachings, if you study them, the Bible mentions that they're seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You gotta look at it like this, that when the devil comes and sows false teaching, he's going to sow it in the midst of good people. He's going to sow it in the midst of soundness. He's wanting it to go corrupt there. And that's kind of where we're teaching here this morning. And I don't know really where we're going to end up but this morning here, but I want to teach you a Bible verse we're all familiar with just to bring alive this thing. Doctrine, we fight for doctrine. We really do. We should. This is a place that is very clear in the Bible. It tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I don't know about you all, but some people are abandoning the idea of what Scriptures really are. Some of you might even be here this morning that's in doubt to the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. Some of you here in doubt today that you don't know in your hands today that it's the Word of God. Some on you, maybe online, through a collective amount of information that's spread all over this world that the devil and his seducing spirits have come in and you've collectively somehow by someone somewhere has told you that that book has been mistranslated so many times. That's man's writing. That's man's book. How do you know that's mistranslated, that word, and pretty soon you're thinking, is that true? Some of you look to the Word of God, you're thinking, now that there, but that, you see, that's an error. You're going to be unhealthy in faith. The Word of God Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How is God going to judge you by the word of God if he's giving you an air book? If he gave you something that you're going down a road, and why would the Spirit of God use the word of God as the sword of the Spirit, but yet it's in air? So now we got the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, using an unholy word. We can't believe that. We got to get back to conviction. We got to get back. Imagine some of you and some of us that are even older yet as believers. Look what we've all probably lost some of our convictions. It's subtly happening. Sound doctrine, sound faith. Things are happening and they're creeping in. But you know, the Bible's first set off pace that God, that doctrine is given by God. It's about God. To the glory be to God. And then guess what happened? When Jesus Christ walked the earth, died, buried, and rose again, guess who he taught? 12 people. We call them disciples. And we call them apostles. And they had prophets. But those apostles and prophets, the word was given to them. And this is the word by which we speak. The Bible mentions that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That was first and primary. That's primary. That has to be the foundation. Doctrine is the foundation of which you think and act. And it's the way that the Spirit of God comes in and renews the mind, cleanses the soul and spirit, that you can move and act to the glory be to God. It's the Spirit of God. It's called walking after the Spirit of God. I was giving you liberty last time to say, obey by faith. As the Spirit of God leads you, go. And as the Spirit of God, he's saying, go. It's to glory be to God. But in this, I'm telling you, I forgot to tell you maybe, that it's the voice of the Word of God. Sound teaching is given right here. And the Bible says that it is profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's all it said. That's first. The Bible, when the apostles went out, their first time they got in trouble, it says that you had filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, because it was Christ's doctrine. And Christ, when he walked the earth, they said that he spoke the word doctrine with authority. And he said when he spoke it with authority, he spoke the word with power. This doctrine isn't dried up. It's life flowing, right? It's life flowing from the mouth of God, quickened by the Spirit of God in the heart of man. This is a lovely thing. So don't pull away. I plead with you, don't pull away from doubt of the Scripture in your mind. You young ones, listen, God will bless you. Stand alone on this. God has given you a book called the Word of God. It's not twisted, tore up, corrupt, as the world wants to tell you. I tell you one thing, if you want evidence, instead of collectively just scattering the internet from all these collected, don't let the church in these modern days be ran by the spirit of modern man, but by the Spirit of God. Shut off that there and get into the Word of God. Let the Spirit of God bear witness to you of the truth. Now, finally, I think we're going to get back over into Titus, where I initially wanted to start. Now, in the elders, it talks about in Titus chapter 1, it says this, and it gives a list here about for the qualifications of an elder. But, you know, a lot of times, a qualification from the elders, people look at all these things that God has approved them of. But it's a sad shame in our day when men of God don't know doctrine. They're always, I got to go and look it up. But I'm here to tell you that a sign here, it says in verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. It don't matter how much zeal you got. It doesn't matter how much what you think you have attained to. But if you can't teach someone else sound doctrine, if you can't lead others to Christ, and if you can't keep them in Christ, then you yourself you can't be ordained of God. It says here, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. So men, you need to get teaching. men, the Word of God. We need to quit. We need to get out of this mindset of being earthly and spiritual. We need to get out of the mindset that we are naturally just kind of coursing our life so that we can somehow be a representation of a balanced life. But a balanced, true balanced life in moderation is that the men and women that are set apart, and that in that, that's by the means of which we function. And in this here, he says that he may able by sound doctrine, oh, that God would give us more men. This is the battleground. That he may able by sound doctrine. You've got to have sound doctrine, it says both, to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Don't we need, don't you like, and I appreciate Brother Jerry, because I've been out with him, and he exhorts and convinces the gainsayers. Yes, your preacher, your pastor, your elder here. That's a good sign. But we need about 15 more. And we need to start putting, investing time into one another in this. We ain't going to get nowhere. The Bible teaches that. You can be a lover of hospitality. You can be just. You can not be given to wine, not striker, not filthy lucre. You hear all this stuff and qualifications. But does he know sound doctrine? Can he just take the Bible and just start teaching that, the gospel, but then the gospel truths of all those things connected? That's what I like about it. But there are many, verse 10, unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things. See, the devil's always preaching, isn't he? I often go to place, we go preaching. They said, oh, let me guess, there you go again. You're going, or you're just talking to someone. You ever talk to someone like, not like I'm talking here, about like that right there. And you're just talking like, so how's your day? Any church background? And there you go again. You're going to start preaching. But before you even went up to them, they're already preaching. Now, if you get that in your mind, you're going to get boldness. But think about it. What were they doing before you come to them? They're on their phone, probably cussing. They're on their playing their music. I've done this many times over. I just say, man, sir, whoever, you've already been preaching for the past hour. Can I get 2 minutes? And they'll say, yeah, go ahead. You go to a restaurant, you go to a store, they're just blaring music. They're preaching you a message. Satan's seducing. He's wanting you to get into the pattern of a spirit, some type of deceptive way. Satan is, and that's his way he goes about it. And to be able, here we are feeling inferior, like, okay. It's like basically like you go outside, you go out in the world, and you hear megaphones just blaring. Oh, hail to Satan. And then you actually in your heart go, what if a door opens? I'm going to preach. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. But the whole world's just in an uproar, an anarchy against God. Let's kill them. You just stand, you just smile and just say, I got no time. I better, now's the time, redeem the time now. And I begin to just tell them like it is. Let it go. Let the music go in your own heart. But here it says, all the way down, and it says in verse 2, chapter 2, as it was going on, talking about they were teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. But then it comes to us here in a real practical way. And here I'd like to be calmly and practical in this sound doctrine. It says this in chapter 2 of Titus. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. He's talking to young Timothy, Titus. And also over in Timothy, you got a picture. Paul has gotten older now. You know, when you get older, the older you get as a Christian, you look at the younger, and you just, what do you hope for them? Successful life? No, I say, Lord. Some of my children probably tell you, laugh. I said, study doctrine. Because you know what? Some people say, you know, that's just dried up stuff. Who said that? Who's telling you this? Who told you the voice of God is dead and dried up? Who told you that theology is an old pastime? Theology is the very heart of God. It's the very moving of God. It's the mind of God. It's the things that you feel so blessed by the Spirit of God the world don't know. That's called theology. It's the mystery of God, the mystery of godliness. D Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Surely the world don't know it and they can't answer for it. But you can when you study your Bible. You can rejoice in the spirit of truth. You don't have to have an intellectual debate with someone. I can pull back and worship God in spirit and truth. I don't need that. I'm not intimidated by that. And I believe in this book here teaches us. It says the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. There's that sound in faith I was looking for. In charity, in patience. Sound doctrine. Aged men, sober. You know, an unhealthy faith, unhealthy heart, unhealthy doctrine. When you're scatterbrained all over the place and can't get settled in your soul. It's all being grave and sober. It's when you've been walking with the Lord and soundness has been brought to you. Some of you, maybe in your faith, you've been believing everything but God. Oh, God would give me him or her. Oh, God would give me this or that. You know what I mean. Oh, that God, you can just like some would. I'm almost sometimes afraid to say, but I'm telling you, some people, just don't err in this. Don't chase after God in ways that he doesn't speak. I encourage you in another way, very gently. You know, the books and the songs we read come from sound doctrine. You know what? Where music really derives from, divine music, comes from the heart and the spirit of God. We read what we sung this today. You're going to hear sound doctrine. Now, I open up to you a hymn book, and it just started coursing, talking about Jesus was a man or a man only. What would you do? What if we start replacing with maybe Jesus with sheep? What if we start getting a little more this or a little more that way? We start taking out, you know, a triune God. What if we start taking out the blood of Christ? What about the virgin birth? Can you be saved and not believe in the virgin birth? Or do you have a sinful Savior? Come on. Sound doctrine is you're able to convince the gainsayers, those that say he's just a prophet or man. No. This is spiritual. He was begotten of God. Born of a virgin because why? You know why. These are doctrines that settle you and cause you to grow in your faith. Theology makes you grow. It really does. I'm telling you, it does. And it makes you in this way. Sound in faith, charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober. It's the same. Soundness. There's a likeness. If you look about it, here's these young men from an older man, and he's saying, I'm getting old and going to soon depart. I'm concerned. That Timothy told Timothy there, he said, attend unto reading, attend unto doctrine, attend to these things. And here it's saying that women, that they would be teacher of good things. And here's the effect, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste. Oh, that, if you think about it, sound and healthy doctrine. If it's seeing here, if it is what my Bible's saying, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, why are we throwing that stuff out? Chase, what's wrong with that? I mean, sound healthy. If we start pulling these words and start putting in this idea of all these other earthly terminologies, moms, you teach them. Just straight at them. Sound, does they be sound in faith, sound of mind and settlement. The devil wants to seduce and come in with doctrines of devils, commandments of men. Here, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See, sound doctrine has to be validated with the life. Sound healthy, a healthy life. That gives glory to God. He's saying, these are my people. I've been speaking to them. And this is the result of who they are. They're healthy. They're not all frazzled. They're not, when they kneel and pray, there's great, great rest in their hearts at what they pray for by the will of God. They don't have to pray and just all over the place. Faith that we don't find in the Bible. Asking amiss. We've got to get away from that. Get some soundness in our hearts. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, shewing uncorruptness. Titus, in doctrine, shew uncorruptness. You see, divine doctrine has no corruptness. You want healthy doctrine, your life, the word from your mouth. Hold fast the faithful word that you've been taught. And he teaches us here, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is on the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And then now, you men that go to work, it goes on and on, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but shewing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things, adorning the doctrine of God. Those are your employees, your co-workers. And the same as the women were taught, the same as the men when they were submissive, same way in that likelihood here. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I really do. Sound doctrine. Wrote a couple of things. We have maybe just a small bit of time. We'll end. Wrote down a small things and just in hoping in your mind to recapture. And this is just scratching the surface. You can only do so much in a short amount of time. I've missed probably 1,000. There's 1,000 directions and why and who and how. But inside of this, the producing of the Christian is of God. God ordained it this way. He caused you to walk after the Spirit of God. He said you're being led. And if you're being led of the Spirit of God, you're hearing the Word of God. And as you hear the Word of God, your faith begins to grow. And your love begins to have judgment and discernment. The voice of God makes you healthy in your love towards one another too. You have a day and an age where that word is just love, is just the word you just say to stop the mouths of those that want to live righteous. You want to stop sinning. Just say the word love, and surely it's going to put up a dam where no one else can say anything else. Just love. But we know as you walk and grow in faith, that love begins to be defined by the Spirit of God. It begins to teach you. And even in your own life, you grow and become more sound in your mind and faith. But here's what I'd like for you to think about. That doctrine is, what I've said, teaching from God about God that directs us to the glory of God. Teaching of our Heavenly Father revealed in Jesus Christ and transmitted to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to, now that part you say, now I got it right there, but this is where I want you to see it. But it's to be received, confessed, and followed in your life in this church. The glory of God. I'm going to tell you, that's the thing, isn't it? When we talk with people, they might say like, oh, I go to this church, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Protestant. I'm an Anabaptist. Might know some things. But I'm here to tell you that when you're led of the Spirit of God and you become sound, you become able to teach the life of God by example, but also by word. You know what we're saying today? There's a problem in our day today where no one wants to be resolved. No one wants to put their foot down and say, this is what I believe. They're scared to death. People are afraid to believe God, but they're afraid that they're going to believe wrong. So much diversity of thought there, isn't there? Oh, you know what I'm saying. And so what I'm saying is, if you can't confess it, you go to a church, you can't confess that, you can't receive it, confess it, and follow it, devil's going to start attacking that area. He's going to start attacking you in that area. See, Christianity isn't just, well, I believe in Jesus. And that you should be able to teach as time goes on the person of Christ through a healthy way of your own faith and brought about by the Word of God, a life. Paul said it like this. He says, the first thing before he even mentioned his life, he says, thou hast known my manner of life and doctrine and purpose. Paul mentioned very clearly that when he was talking to Timothy, that everyone knew his doctrine. Some people think you got to lay the doctrine aside, create some type of relationship. But you can't be who you are like you're just some bipolar, dysfunctional person that really can't be who you are to give glory to God, because you know what that really is? Is when you're given a heap of information without any sanctification, you're this person walking around with all these figures and numbers and verses without no change in your life and no fortitude of saying, that's who I am, this is who I must be, this is what I do believe, to glory be to God, and you stand on that thing. You know how many people years ago and years have passed? Some people laugh and they say, oh, they got that statement of faith or this. But all I'm saying is there's some place in your life you got to come and stand. And it's called sound doctrine. You go, I can't take it no more. This is what I believe. And you stand, you confess that thing, you walk that thing, because that's the way God's going. It's called being led of the Spirit of God. So you got to receive it. You really do. Well, we'll end with maybe just one last verse. Now, what verse should that be? Okay, we'll end here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Maybe it's for some of you young ones. Maybe the Lord's wanting you to be something you're not. Be in a place where you could. Maybe one day, maybe the Lord's calling you to preach. Maybe the Lord's setting you apart for something. I want to tell you this thing here. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and faith, spirit and faith and purity. Then he says this, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And then the last verse, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Men, moms, teaching your children, men that'll soon be maybe one day leading the church for the glory of God. Some man, some woman out on the mission field laying their life down. Take heed unto thyself, your life, and unto the doctrine. They got to go hand in hand, but you got to have doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. If you take out doctrine, that's where we're going into an ecumenical movement in our day. We're going into a Laodicea today where everyone just say something new. Be these. We just want to hear a new thing. We want to hear something new instead of something old. We need something old. We need to keep what's old, what's been committed to us and trusted. That when we can stand, we can save ourselves and them that hear it. So that's kind of where the Lord's heart is. Good old-fashioned, sound doctrine from a good book, the Bible, being revealed to you by the Spirit of God. Now, and if you maybe don't have the doctrine of Christ in your heart today, never came and understood that doctrine, like I mentioned to you in the very beginning, how was your hearing? If you heard the Word of God today, someone might be without Christ. It would be an awful shame for us to teach and all of us be in a wonderful place, someone else to be in a terrible place right now. Some of us maybe could be like, oh, we're settled. I'm going to go look up the word doctrine and just barrel through the new covenant. I'm going to barrel it through and I'm going to start putting my foot down on teaching. I'm going to start giving myself the Spirit of God. I'm going to start just declaring what the Spirit of God's saying through the Word of God. And then there's some of you sitting here saying, I hath not God. Now you're in the worst state you could ever be. You don't have God today. You haven't been born in the Spirit of God. You don't know the doctrine of Christ today. Just in the final, right at the hour 12, in the simplest way, I would plead for you one more time. God would ask for you one more time, not to put it off one more time, that you would come and believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again on the third day, ascended up to heaven on the right hand of God, interceding on the behalf of those that call upon Him. And if the blood hasn't been applied to your life, everything I told you is in vain. You're going to go home and have no life. You have no purpose. And then when you look back and you get old, you won't be able to connect the dots and you wish God would have been there all your life. You wish you could have looked back and said, when I made the decision for there, God wasn't there. When I made the decision there, I'm not sure. And when I prayed, I never was sure. And when I read, I never found peace. I never was sure. When I spoke about God, I never was sure. When I was baptized, I still was never sure. Everything I've done is always just confusion and cloudy. Might just clear it all up just with the doctrine of Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood. And all it takes is God to illuminate the heart and say, you're lost. That's another doctrine, doctrine of depravity. You're lost without hope. And in that doctrine, you have no hope. You can't come to God. You can't win God's favor by your talent, by your good mind, your good effort. Well, that was a good thought. I mean, and your good giving. That's sound doctrine. The doctrine of Christ says this, you can't do nothing. But you can do this. You can say, Lord, everything I've done is wrong. That is true. Everything. And yes, I am willing from the heart because of what you've shown me. That inside my heart, I feel wicked and wretched. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've shown me that. I've been fighting this thing, but it's altogether true. And then you look and say, Lord, one of the greatest victories you'll ever have in your heart. Just say, Lord, I want to stop sinning. And Lord, I don't ever want to sin again. Lord, and we call it repentance. Your heart says, Lord, everything is true. I need out of this. Your heart says this, Lord, I come. And now then you look to Christ, and then finally, He's the biggest thing you've ever seen in your life, your Redeemer and Savior. You say, Lord, I see Christ, I believe. Repent and believe, and then them baptismal waters are a little bit different than the first ones you might have had. Well, let's thank the Lord, and we'll close here. Father, we thank you for a good time. We thank you for a little bit of spunk and life in our life, Lord, to hear from the Word of God this morning. We've had opportunity to obey, to believe, to confess. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who reveals you, Father. We thank you, Spirit of God, that gives us enlightenment and illuminate in our hearts and minds by the Word of God. You gave us a perfect Word, a perfect book, Lord. We're thankful for that. Lord, help us. Help each one of us here to continue, grounded and settled. Be not moved away. Lord, help us continue the end by the grace of God. Those that are lingering and outside the camp, never been in that door, Lord, could you work a miracle, only you can do. Let no one here be lost. There's just one lost, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.